Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Okay, let's pray together, if we could, please. We'll get started. if you'll join me. Father, we thank you for your provision and goodness to us today. And we pray that in Christ's name you would help us as we continue to think about our own pursuit of holiness and the things that may either help or hinder that pursuit. And we ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't need a door, do we? My goal this morning is to sort of recap some of the things that Kevin has been doing over the last 4 weeks, and he is here to catch me if I fall off of the tightrope, so that if I get out of line or something like that, he'll quickly stop and pause me. But our goal is to kind of just get you remembering some of those things, the very big ideas, the big chunk ideas. And then we want to do some Q&A. If you have questions that are lingering about that, I'm sure that he'd be willing to answer those. And then also, we want to think in terms of practical ways that we might be able to implement some of these things. The only caution that I want to give in that regard is that our goal is not to say, so is owning a cell phone wrong? We're not... because the answer to that might be, for some people, yes. Or the question might, you know, is it wrong? Should I only have a minimal cell phone as opposed to a smartphone? You know, so we don't want to get into that. We're not going to try to make a list of, here's what makes you holy with regard to your technology use. You know, that's what we can descend into if we're not careful. And that's not what we want to do, but we want to think about practical things that we might be able to do to help us in this regard. I'm not going to try to draw the diagram that Kevin had, but I will maybe try to draw one. And I want to make this tie between Amos and Auburn with regard to technology, if I might. And that's to say, in the lives of the people that Amos is preaching to, they have established some things that provide for them satisfaction, security, pleasure, and those are the things that have become their gods. And they stand between them and real satisfaction and the real God. And we want to try to think about how we might fall into that same kind of trap as well and expose some things that might be doing that. Because it's always easier to look at another generation, a past generation, and say, man, why couldn't you see that? But we look at ourselves almost like we're looking in one of those carnival mirrors. You know, and it's been a long time. My family would be quick to tell you, Daddy never takes us to the Lee County Fair. You know, when the waffle cakes and the sausage dogs and the rides are in town, Daddy buckles down and doesn't take us. Well, the only reason to go is because of that mirror that makes me look tall and thin. You know, you want to go stand in front of that funky mirror. And that's the way we tend to kind of look at ourselves, is through those bad mirrors. So we need help to be able to see what's really going on, okay? So here are the goals that were established in the pursuit of this study. And the first was to understand what technology is and how it affects our lives. And we've talked about that some, the role that technology has and the way it influences and shapes us. We wanted to see technology from a kingdom perspective, including its uses and abuses. We wanted to understand that God has placed us here. He's created us in His image. A part of that is to be creative. And so we use technology to serve us, to have dominion over the earth, to serve other people, to make life better. You know, so those are all kinds of things that we've talked about over the last 4 weeks. We also wanted to develop a scheme for adopting technology or not. And that's kind of what we want to flesh out just a little bit more. And again, at any point now, when you start going, oh yeah, I remember, and I had this question, or I wanted to make this comment, go ahead and interrupt me, okay? I don't have a group of information or set part of information that I want to cover. We remembered that technology touches every part of our lives. It tends to affect our knowledge, our thinking, and our ability to think. It affects the way we communicate, it helps us communicate, so it affects our relationships. It affects our bodies, makes us faster, stronger, safer. I saw again a little short video clip this weekend of a guy robotically controlling a deep submersion vehicle to pick up something off the ocean floor. And I thought, what a cool thing that technology's allowed us to do. There was no way you could physically go down that deep. And so this was a way that technology makes us able to accomplish things that we otherwise couldn't. It affects our health. It affects and impacts food and medicine and all of those kinds of things. So our well-being is touched by technology. It affects our emotions, our entertainment. Who knows what... remember Charlton Heston in the movie... Ten Commandments, standing there, and who knows what Steven Spielberg and those guys could do with the parting of the Red Sea now. Who knows how those things could be made to look and what kind of technology could be used in moving our emotions and shaping the way we think even through our entertainment. So that touches all the stuff that we are. And so then as a result of all those realities, technology can have a great tendency to become an idol. Help me, just so you can start engaging with me a bit again. Can you think of some ways, verbally communicate, some ways that technology can become an idol? How the see some of the temptations that are there, or ways that it can interfere? Am I asking the question properly, Kevin, do you think? If technology makes us faster, stronger, smarter, more communicative, more creative, more, if it gives us all these things, how could it tend to become an idol? And how could it begin to make us think wrongly about ourselves and about God? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Jean. So it actually becomes a barrier to relationships in that way, doesn't it? Yeah. And almost becomes the thing around which our life revolves.
We tend to trust in that rather than God, and also to be deceived in thinking that we can reach some level of perfection rather than just be dependent on God for salvation.
Okay. So it actually kind of can have a tendency to remove God from the picture altogether, can it? We can, with enough money and time, we can do anything. Tower of Babel, like. The other?
I think electronics don't have a surprising ability just to distract us from maybe good things, and maybe helping us to be super great communicators, just maybe communicating at the wrong time, or just not doing things we're supposed to be doing, or just can kind of mess up our priorities a lot. Just because it's so easy to look at something like a phone and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Going off of that, technologies can make us trust technology so much that we value it more than we value people around us, instead of asking a friend or an expert or a teacher, say, well, I'll just look it up online. Online's not always right.
Yeah,
but also it makes us value the technology sometimes more.
Yeah, and multiple things going on there. Isolates us, values the technology, decreases people and their value. Yes?
Just going off what Henry was saying, sometimes I can think with good things distract us from greater things. So there's nothing intrinsically wrong with this or that technology or this or that application on your phone or whatnot, but it can start to pull you away from the time of the Lord, pull you away from your family or your ministry or things that are greater.
Okay.
That's where it becomes a problem.
Yeah. In Kevin's notes, he gives this definition of an idol: whatever claims that loyalty which belongs to God alone. And hopefully you heard that definition coming out of what was going on with the people in Amos this morning, as or you know, in Jeremiah, the glory that God deserved. And God pictures himself in Jeremiah 2 as being this fountain from which people could drink and receive refreshment and life. And so the glory, to give glory to God, means to go to Him for that thing and to recognize it as the supreme provision of life and so forth. And so to displace God from that position and to go looking and saying that other things will satisfy me or provide for me, or even I begin to give my loyalty to those things. All those things are about displacing God and create significant problems for us. So the even though God has given us this responsibility to rule and subdue the earth and have dominion over all things and to help people and to invest and to make things better, and technology helps us to do that, and so it has all these good opportunities, it also has some impacts that inherently move us away from God, causing us to believe we're less dependent on Him. It moves us away from people because we can accomplish things without people. And again, remember, this one of the key things about moving forward together in holiness is that we do it together, that we need each other for that process, as well as other things that are going on around us, you know. And so that's the warnings that are going on and the ways that technology tends to affect us. Now, does that give you enough of a reminder and a recap to get you back into the flow of things that we've been talking about for the last several weeks? You need more? I don't know how to ask that without making you feel like you're slow or whatever. Oh, need some more. You know, I haven't been here. That would be fine. But hopefully that gets you back into the flow of things and thinking about that. And what I would like for us to be able to do is to see if you have any questions about this reality or situation that we can just chew on together. And I want us also to flesh out some more of this evaluation process and ways that we can help each other or encourage each other to think about this. Okay? So, yes, sir. Well, there are, I think this might be a good time for me just to go over again these questions that Kevin was giving us about the ways that we can evaluate. And I think probably what it starts to become, Heath, is to say, when I read an article that says three technical devices you can't live without, which you'll see 12 times this week, then every one of those, I mean, I guess I just have to set up barriers that keep me from running to that going, okay, where do I get it? Because even Christians maybe will recommend things that I can't live without that maybe I can. So would you like to add to that?
Yeah, Kevin? I'm mulling over myself. I think that's the one side. Heath's is the other side. Yours is the world telling us you must do this, and this is the side saying you shouldn't do that. And I think this one is especially is more probably more amenable to passing through a grid of biblical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not doing this now. Should I do it? And this is saying to cease something. And I think we ought to take, if the world ever gives us warnings about things, I think we ought to take those very seriously. And I'm not sure what distinctly Christian perspectives you can bring to, I mean, you just have to evaluate everything from a biblical point of view. I know that's not very helpful. But when the world is shouting warnings, I think we ought to really...
Well, you ought to sit up and take notice of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a danger here? And what is the danger? And how does that mesh with my worldview?
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that's helpful for me is to ask, because everyone writes something for a reason. And it's usually to make you read that thing and then to buy whatever ads are on the sides. And so shock is a real premium in all kinds of these of the trade press. So everything is done for shock value. So things will necessarily, not necessarily, but things will, just as a matter of course, be exaggerated almost always. So I think about it. Maybe step one is breathe three times very slowly and then proceed.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Often, I know these kind of articles, often what happens, and I know this from my own interaction at the university, I'll have someone call me from the trade press because I've done research in a particular topic. They write a version of what I've done for the popular, you know, for people in the industry. And they're not, they don't mean ill by it, but they don't understand it deeply enough to give all the truth and fairness, and what will come out will be, even if they're trying their hardest to fairly represent it, they can only sort of partially do that. Now, if they have an agenda, and that has happened to me as well, by the way, then it's really bad. So these articles that we're reading, I think we have to ask ourselves, okay, what's going on here? And often there will be a study underneath what they're writing about. That's actually what I want to say here. So I always try to go to the source. Okay, well, if they cited some article from a Cornell professor, just download it. I know that's not for everybody, right? Download it said it's a
sandwich. Amen. Notice he did not say, send it to Paul. Let me give you these questions that that Kevin set before us last week, I believe, and I want to remind you about them. And if you didn't write them down, you could email us or me, and I'll send you a copy or something, or you can jot them down. But these are some questions, and I would like to hear other evaluative questions that you might have been mulling over. But first, does the use of this technology glorify God? And if so, how? Does it glorify God? Since the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, then we ask, does this glorify God? And as I was sort of mulling over this, I thought, you know, now the average Christian today is going to say, oh, wait a minute, does everything have to be about God? I think that question could pop into the minds of many people today who call themselves evangelical Christians. Let's not get carried away here. Well, that's a cause for us to just even evaluate our own hearts. Because if Colossians 3 is true, and where Paul says, so then whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it as unto the Lord, it's a fair and reasonable test to apply that to everything that I do in technology. Can I do this as unto the Lord? Does this bring glory to God? A second question is, what will it enable me to do? Will I accomplish good or evil with it? Will it help sanctify me or will it corrupt me? What will it enable to do and how will it affect me? There are a lot of times this may seem like a really silly illustration, but it just comes to mind. There are a lot of times in my life where we've been trying to do a job and we didn't have the right tool for it, and so we would find some other tool. And then in the process of trying to use that tool, I would say, now if I use this in this way, am I going to get hurt? Because that's most often what happens when you use the wrong tool for the wrong job, you know? So anyway, a third question, how will it affect me? Thinking about that inner loop that Kevin had talked about, from if I use this shovel, I'll get blisters on my hands. Everyone who uses a shovel will get blisters on their hands, except those who wear gloves. And then sometimes that won't help. You'll still get blisters. So how's this going to affect me? Will it help or hurt my body in the long run? It's huge, super key question. Will it enslave me? Does it serve me, or will I begin to serve it? Yes. One of the things that comes to mind most quickly is, remember Jack Bauer in 24? And people would watch that show, and technology allowed us to be able to watch past seasons. And I made the mistake of watching the first episode of a season, and then the next one is ready to load. And the next one. And the next one. And before you know it, you're going, I got to know what's going to happen to Jack. What is? Are they going to blow up the world with this nuclear device? I mean, what? And before you know it, an entire day can be eaten. And then that's only one 24-hour day. There's another episode to watch after that. What were there, eight or... I only watched one season. And after that, the way it fleshed out for me, Henry, was that thing sucks my time up and captures my thinking. And all, even when I'm over here trying to do what I'm supposed to do, I'm wondering about Jack Bauer, who doesn't even exist. I think in that situation, it does. Yeah, when... Yes, sir. Just, well, I was going to say, when it starts becoming the thing on which you meditate, and that's just one little micro picture of that whole big deal. So, yeah, I think it does become enslavement. Kevin?
A good
evaluative process, and then be willing to hear what they say. Yes.
I like the point you made about just am I having to work to pull myself away from this thing, and I had to do some self-examination, and just I feel like I have to work harder to pull myself off of Facebook than I do to pull myself away from the Word of God. And why doesn't that draw me in as much as this does? And just
yeah. I think it's a pretty complex. Henry, is that answering the question at all?
Yeah,
helping?
Yeah, definitely.
So it takes a lot of evaluation. And then I wrote the word, I put this box up here and pleasures. This was a at the risk of being a diagram drawer, this was a diagram I was having in the middle of the night last night. And like, this is my current situation. This is the SITREP for all you cool acronym people. And these are things that I like and enjoy and technologies and stuff that helps me and things, but they that I'm understanding can be potential barriers to holiness and godliness or progress that I want to make. And this is what I think we're kind of doing every day, is evaluating this stuff that's in here, all the while realizing that, you know, it was a really a lot of fun to watch Jack Bauer stop a nuclear attack, and it was entertainment, and it was, but am I willing to forego this because of at the right hand of God are pleasures forevermore? So it's like this constant evaluative, is that a word? That's process of evaluation, where you're always seeing, I think, asking, is this hindering me from getting over there to where I want to be?
In Corinthians, Kevin brought up that verse, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. That word helpful is extremely pregnant there, mm-hmm. because we have to know what we're helping. What is the chief end? What is the chief goal? And all these other things can be sort of relative to seasons in life, and things like that, as to the gradient of how right or wrong a specific technology is, but that clarity of that one goal that we're trying to, all things are to assist toward, is the guiding light that can save us from a lot of the rabbit trails. It makes me think of C.S. Lewis, something that stuck with me from the Four Loves, when he said, love and money and relationships or food, these can all be gods, but to toss them out totally isn't right either, because they were created to be good for our enjoyment.
Yeah.
And so they then, when they're under their right place of under God, they're then, he calls them demigods and says that's good. But they're gifts, they're blessings. I think he used that word, but you get what I'm saying. That,
right.
That when they're above God, certainly they're wrong, but then to just toss them out totally is still wrong, because they're something made by God for us to take power over.
Yeah.
Dominion, stewardship, and enjoyment, and thanks to him.
And that's the good balancing point to this picture. This diagram doesn't speak that way. It almost looks like everything that's good and pleasurable I have to throw away, because that keeps me from being holy. And that's not what I intended to communicate. So that helps a lot.
I wasn't criticism of that.
No, but that's helpful. I appreciate it. Yes, ma'am, Martha? The kids are in the high chair. I'm just having that picture. The episode will be over in a minute, Paul. Be like Jack Bauer, fix your own sandwich. Yeah. Okay. So Jack Bauer is going to be marked forever now. Yes.
Set it down, and I'm gonna snag it and see what they do just for last a good.
Yeah.
And then after 7 minutes, they're going, where's my phone? I don't know what to do without, and I'm going, that ain't even a problem. So what? If that's the case, then yes, there's a problem. A month, that's a little extreme. You want to go like, okay, man.
I can't get the picture out of my mind that Kevin painted for us of the guy doing dumbbell lifts or whatever, and then he puts one down to answer the phone. Oh, curls. And so he's doing his phone and curls with one arm, and then he puts his phone back and he continues. You know, that's so the extreme. So Kathy mentioned, I'm going to erase this because I don't want it to. I do think the point of this was, I struggle sometimes, maybe this is a unique struggle, but I struggle sometimes in going, oh yeah, but if I give that up, I'm going to lose something that I enjoy. Like, probably it would help my family if we didn't watch March Madness. But then what Jack says comes in to help that, you know, to if I'm not careful, I can say, oh, well, we don't watch March Madness. We are godly. Okay? So, Kathy mentioned what I'd like for us to think about now for the next few minutes is, what are some things we can do to help us bring some of this into control under the order that God calls us to have, to address, to protect ourselves, practical ways we can protect ourselves. And so maybe a fast for a period of time from that technology, or something to see if we're wed to it too closely, would be a good idea. I'm going to spring the one that you mentioned that Brandon talked about at their house with the plugging in the internet. And through Kevin and a discussion with Brandon, one thing that they tried do is, in order to make the internet a little more difficult to access, they don't have a wireless router. So if you need to access the internet, they've got it, but you have to plug in to do it. And so that just makes it easier to kind of ignore some of those, well, I think I'll just surf the web. You know, I think I'll see if there's anything on the internet today.
That's blank.
Can you imagine just showing up, you log in and you turn it on and there's just nothing there because nobody had anything to say? So, yeah. So maybe just some physical barriers that you can set up that might be a help if you're prone. And another one of those things might be some filters, so that you're filtering the stuff that comes through and so forth, or set up some time limits or parental controls and those kinds of things. What are other, Brian?
Along with physical barriers, like temporal barriers, like maybe scheduling a time to go on Facebook, or scheduling your email to come in every 3 hours instead of whenever you get an email, it pops up. And so you feel the need to check it, have a schedule.
Okay. I knew a pastor once who, he said, every time you get interrupted, it costs you 15 minutes. I don't know if you can document that, but I think it wouldn't be hard to do that. If your phone goes ding and you've got a text message, you're trying to do this, and then so you go, well, let me check and see this, what this is. That you lose several minutes doing that, looking at it, and then it takes you a long time to get back engaged with this. That was his point. So he wasn't interrupted by messages or phone calls or any of those things, and the way he communicated to people was to say, when you leave a message for me, let me know if it would be better for me to return your call between 11 and 11:30 or between 3:30 and 4. Because those are the times when I'm going to get back and communicate. And I guess if there was an emergency, it was different. But that was one of the things that he was doing. So if your email's not on fetch, or push, is that one of those but it's set up to come only ever so often. Yeah. Okay. So other. Yes.
I work with my phone, and so folks are calling me for jobs.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to answer my phone just about any time.
Right.
But what I do is, certain time at night, I don't answer the phone. I don't look at my phone, and until I get up and keep going forward to the next morning. So it doesn't. Once I get home and wrap up my day, it's off. Or it's not off, but I don't check it.
Yeah. So it's not.
It's
you're not
for emergency only.
Wondering. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would suggest for students that you would look at your phone bill and see how many text messages you're sending and receiving in a month. And then just divide up your time. How many hours are you awake during a day? And think about dividing up your waking hours by those text messages and see how much time, how often a text message is interrupting your day and how much time is being spent dealing with that. And then maybe be willing to say, you know, for this block of 4 hours or whatever, I'm going to study, I'm just going to turn it off, put it away. That would be another way to guard yourself. Okay, other ways that you can help protect, steps you can take, barriers you can set up, protections.
On the whole, what is the content being portaled into my home? If my home is the only place that God has really given me dominion, specifically for the culture, within 100 foot by 150 foot long lot of land, and yet I've got everything from Los Angeles or wherever, no offense, I mean Hollywood, but you know, channeling into my home through this portal, just because I've got cable for the Olympics or for whatever else, is it worth it to watch that one sitcom for the commercials I've got to suffer through? And that sort of thing. And the other thing, Facebook, I mean, what things in a human nature does Facebook appeal to? I mean, there's the value of keeping up with grandchildren, but at the same time, and I mean, I say this as somebody that just absolutely really doesn't have an interest in Facebook, but I've seen people suffer for the comparisons of the deception. There's a lie, essentially, often portrayed on Facebook, just subconsciously by people not intending to, but they just put the best, and they put to compare, and they put to show. And what turmoil or what amount of the day or week do I then spend trying to sort out, do I really need that? Do I really need to do a better vacation next year so I can post these pictures? That kind of stuff. I mean, how much time do you spend weeding your garden because that was even there?
Yeah.
And it makes me think about just when Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. And so certainly there's a time to not throw out David with bathwater and have things to give thanks for, like good food. But other times, maybe there's an 80% content that's just trash. Mm-hmm. That or appeals to a part of my makeup that's only, it's going to appeal largely to the sinful part, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes good sense. And that's where some of those questions about, you know, as a guy who really loves to watch the tournament in March, we're going, well, you got to have cable for the tournament. And so it becomes a place of real argument and saying, am I willing to endure some temporary loss for the potential gain? That's the kind of question that gets set up in that. That's worth wrestling through. Yeah.
And not to sound, I have no interest in Facebook. My weakness is $200 in something in Fidelity. Nothing, basically, but over pennies, I can waste a day, or
thinking about investments and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I get stuck in other areas.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about Facebook some more. You want to? Heath?
I think you kind of already hit on, but I'd also just mention in all this, one of the things people ask me a lot of times about, like the filters and stuff like that, because I do computer work, I think we do have to be careful in all of these. You can set these things up as what it produces good. Not that we're, you know, I fasted from it, so I didn't have it, so I could not have sinned. Well, but you want to send in because you were fasting. I mean, kind of hit on that too, but
Yeah.
The filters especially is one people ask me a lot about. I mean, you can block out everything. You can almost block out every, it's probably going too far, but every external bad thing. You can't, I mean, because there's bad things inside of us. But I mean, we can try to do all those things through all these different methods, and we still can fail at that. So.
Yeah, at the end of the day, there's a heart issue, and that's how badly we need a Savior, isn't it? That we can even take the things that we're trying to set up to protect us from sin and turn it into sin, so that we desperately need a Savior. In the last 4 minutes that we've got, tell me some ways that technology has helped you move forward, helped you to make progress lately. I want you to end on a high note. Yes, ma'am.
I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook, so people communicate that way don't get a hold of me very often. But I will say it's helped me to a lot of folks from when I was at Bible college write to me. Mm-hmm. They get on Facebook. And I would never have had any contact with them had it not been through Facebook. So that's a potential plus.
Yeah.
And international friends. Yes.
International friends,
I never
yeah.
Would
Mm-hmm.
When she was living in Brazil, so
yeah. I contacted a friend from 30 years ago on Facebook this week to say thank you for your investment in my life while I was in college, and he wrote back and said, "Man, that's the encouragement of the year." He said, "I've been wondering lately if my life was of any value and worth, not in this suicidal sense. I don't want to make it sound like, but he said you just wonder if you've ever accomplished anything," and so he was, you know, that was a good opportunity. What else? Yes?
Just as one whose family is spread out over the U.S., I give thanks for the phone every day.
Yeah, phones. Man, what a great thing, isn't it, to be able to communicate and talk and Skype. And lately, I have the ESV on my phone, and when I drive, I stick an earphone in and I listen to the Bible while I drive. And that's been really a helpful thing. You know, I haven't missed anything. I really, really love sports talk radio. I love keeping up with stuff. And honestly, I haven't missed anything. It's almost like you can listen once a week and not miss what they talk about. So, any others? Okay. If you want to chat about some of these things more, or I'm sure Kevin would love to talk with you about it, or I'm happy to do that. It's been a really challenging and helpful period of study for us, I think. And what I want to encourage us to do is to hear it and then spend some time wrestling with it. Because the tendency is for Satan to come and snatch away things. We can go ahead and just be quickly distracted. And move on to something else before we deal with the things we need to deal with. So we'll pray that we can do that. Don't forget that you're invited to come to Chewakla and help Brandon celebrate his birthday. And that starts at... He just said Chewakla to me half an hour ago. So... Brandon, Elliot has invited us to celebrate his birthday at 1 o'clock. Today. Yeah, so we can encourage. And has anybody else heard Town Creek Park? It's at Chewakla. Jump float things? I'm not going to make any promises. Let's pray together before we go, okay? Father, we thank you for your kindness. We're amazed at the things that you will allow men to develop, the way that the creativity of God is expressed in things that are made and built and designed is amazing. And we thank you for the ways that we enjoy comforts and all of those things as a result of the technology that's around us. But we pray, too, that you will grant us mercy to evaluate carefully and biblically, and then at the end of the day to always be looking for our satisfaction in Christ and in Christ alone. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive,